You remember that Nicodemus, one of the leaders of the Jews, went to see Jesus, and that he did it during the night because he didn't want to be seen. He was investigating. So therefore, the reading this morning is part of that. And you will find that part of it is one of the most recognizable sections of Scripture. We're going from John chapter 3, verse 11 through to 21. Jesus is speaking. I tell you the truth. We speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen. But still you people do not accept our testimony. I've spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he's not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light, because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what he has been done through God. Thanks be to God for his word. Who do you think you are? That's an important question. For your view of yourself is important and can have a lifelong impact on each one of us. I also know that it's the name of a television program because we sometimes watch it. But the question is important to each one of us. So I say again, and this time it's a question directed at each person here. Who do you think you are? There's another part to this that has some bite to it also. Who do other people think you are? And the answers to those two questions can be very different because other people might not have the view of you that you want them to have. Let me make something clear. If anyone looks down on you, then they are wrong to do so, whatever the reason. You were given life by God Almighty just as they were. In that, you are equal. In that, we are equal. But it's very easy to look down on people you think are beneath you, without realizing that you're making that mistake, without realizing that you are making the same mistake as others are in making their treatment of you. That's not easy to see. So let me give you an example. I was told this following story by a fellow who's now long dead. He went to the school in Wynwall fairly early in the 20th century. There was a lad living in Wynwall then who was always reading. He read on his way to school, he read on his way back home. The other lads thought he was different because of this, so they picked on him. They threw stones at him. His own siblings thought he was different, so they picked on him at home too. This was easy to do as he was the youngest one. Bluntly, they all looked down on him. It could have affected his whole life, but when the lad grew up, all that reading began to pay off. He became a civil servant. He must have been good at his job because eventually he became the governor of Australia. He ruled the whole country on behalf of the reigning monarch, George V, I guess. Australia is independent now, but it wasn't then. That enormous country was his to rule, largely as he saw fit, a position he took very seriously, of course. The interesting thing was that when he came home, his own siblings still viewed him as being inferior to them, as he was the youngest. They still looked down on him. So, he had considerable authority outside of the family, with the whole country of Australia viewing him as being very important, treating him with respect and so on. Something that continued when he came back to this country, for he was a sound fellow and had done an important job. But it had no impact at all on the way his own siblings looked at him. Now, I've never checked that story, although I believe it to be true. People from small villages can become important. If you don't believe me, then go to Burnham Thorpe. It's a village in Norfolk, which to this day makes Wynnewall look to be a big place. It was also the birthplace of someone whose name you will recognise the instant I mention it. Lord Nelson. 9th in the BBC poll taken a few years ago now. A poll of the greatest Britons of all time, no less. So if we accept that it is unreasonable, wrong, sinful, for anyone to look down on anyone else, who do you think you are? Let me answer that one for you. You are a child of the living God, whoever you are. You are so special to him that he watches over everything you do, everything you say, everything you even think. In terms of everyday life, we might not be important, but to God, you are special, whoever you are. Whoever. That's the text for today. It's part of John 3:16, one of the best known pieces of scripture. Pass. That's the New Testament Greek word that has been translated, whoever. And when I looked it up, it's a fair translation. Not something that has a multitude of possible meanings. Whatever is being spoken or written about, it means all of it, without exception. Nothing missed out. And clearly in John 3:16, it's all the people in the world who are being considered. None missed out. So whoever you are, then you are important to the living God, the one who created everything that there is in the whole universe. And I'm not exaggerating, cosmos. That's the word translated as world in John 3:16. Accept this thought then. Whoever looks down on you is picking on someone who is special in the sight of God. Note this as well. There's no caveat attached to this. It doesn't say whoever's a good boy or a good girl in God's view of things is acceptable in his sight. No, it says that we all need to believe. That's it. No ifs, ands, or buts. This means that anyone who is a criminal, or anyone living on the street, or anyone who is a member of any group which objects to your person, regard them as an enemy if you must. Anyone can be acceptable to the Lord if they believe in him. If. Whoever you are, whatever you have done, whatever you have done, whatever you're still doing, whatever you're still thinking about doing, even if we don't realise when it's sinful, then we still get equal treatment when we come up for judgment. You will not be brushed aside as being important. And no, you don't deserve that. Neither do I. Neither does anyone else who will ever be judged. Again, none of us deserves to be saved from the punishment to come. In that, we are truly equal. If you consider all the things mentioned in Scripture that God advises against, and there's a lot, then no one is going to come up squeaky clean against that perfect yardstick, except Jesus alone. But you do get viewed according to who you believe in, who you really trust with your hopes of eternal life. And there are also those who we might not think are fit to get into heaven and live with the Lord forevermore, the ones we tend to look down on. And horror of horrors, the ones I look down at that. Because we all look down on someone. You weren't sure about that last comment? Do you think you're safe? That you never look down on anyone? Let me mention some names. Hitler. Stalin. Putin. Would you elevate any of them to a position of eternal life? Not an easy group to consider, especially as it's a group we all might easily look down on. Now let's come a bit closer to home. Your parents weren't perfect, were they? They might have been terrific, but they wouldn't be perfect. And you're descended from them, so what are your chances of perfection? No more were my wife and I perfect when we had our three kids living at home. Put like that, it becomes obvious. We're not fit for heaven, except we truly believe in Jesus as being God's Son, the one who went to the cross acting as our Saviour by paying for our sin. Why might we be saved? Because God says so. John 3:16 again reads, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life." Whoever includes anyone and everyone who believes in Jesus. Believe and be saved. For me to say anything less is to call God a liar. And I don't want to do that. The important idea in all of this is that it's all down to Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He decides who enters heaven and who ends up with eternal punishment. And he loves all of us. He doesn't like everything we do, which is why we'll block some people off from eternal life But he does love us, which is why he sent Jesus to act as our Saviour, of course. He gave us an extra chance. Extra? Does that mean he's given us chance or even chances previously? Yes, of course it does. Didn't he make all of us, giving us life when he didn't have to? And the original people he created were perfect, if you accept the Genesis account. I do. I asked him if he wanted me to accept it as it stood, and he said yes, that's why I accept it. And when our ancestors failed to obey him, what then? He gave them rules so that they could get an idea of what perfection is. They didn't follow them, but the rules were there nonetheless, to guide us. Our ancestors couldn't follow them. No one's perfect saving God alone, so we stood no chance. So knowing all this, God sent his Son to act as a perfect Son for our sin. If you think you're beyond the pale, that you do not deserve to be saved, then you're right. Get that clear. No one deserves to be saved. No one. But Jesus still died on that cross for you. And he would have done that for you if you'd been the only one who ever needed saving. That's the definition of love, if you think about it. Especially when you consider what he chose to put up with for us. And in case you think I've not included myself in those comments, that I'm putting myself in a position of authority superior to anyone else here, then let me make it totally clear. I don't deserve to be saved either. But Jesus still died on that cross for me. But there's a catch. One of the hardest things to do is to get someone who is sure of his or her own righteousness in the eyes of God to see that they're wrong in anything. But they are wrong in something. God says so. And if they're imperfect in one particular, then they're imperfect in all of them as far as he's concerned. Ask yourself this. Which group of Jews pressured the Romans into executing Jesus? They were the ones considered to be religious authorities by the main populace of the land. They were the ones who never missed being there for a worship service. The ones so steeped in the Old Testament that they knew it off by heart. The ones who were so sure of their own righteousness that they looked down on anyone else, not of their group. The religious leadership. Now let me ask a question which brings that right up to date. Which people in this country now could be regarded as being the most religious by the main populace of the land? The ones who never miss being at a church for a worship service. The ones so steeped in the Bible that they couldn't quote any of it off, chapter and verse. The ones who look down on anyone else not of their group. The religious leadership. Now, in case you think I'm getting at the whole religious leadership within the land, or even the ones who are here in this place, let me point out that Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea were part of the religious leadership in those days when Jesus was around. So it's not guaranteed that a religious leader is leading people amiss at all, even by looking down on folks. Those two men buried Jesus. They came out of the closet, as it were, and showed what they thought of Jesus. And that's incredible. In Jewish thought and teaching in those days, if you were hanged on a tree, then you were considered to be cursed by God. They also regarded death on the cross as being hanged on a tree. It's there in the book of Deuteronomy, which Nicodemus and Joseph would have known. Part of chapter 21, verse 23 reads in English translation, "A hanged man is cursed by God." Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea then took Jesus' body down, knowing full well that their religious contemporaries would regard him as having been cursed by God. They took a big risk in doing that. A big risk. So what am I saying if I'm not having a go at religious leadership? I'm saying that it's God who decides who's saved, not us. Imperfect as we all are. But through his grace, he's created the means whereby anyone might be saved. If they believe. Which means that it's not for us to decide who will gain eternal life. I can't point at anyone and say that they are or they are not saved. So I mustn't look down on anyone else. It's not my job to choose, it's God's job. He reserves the right to decide who gains eternal life. And of course, it can be a last minute decision. Consider the thief on the cross. He was accepted by God even though, in his own estimation, he didn't deserve to be saved. It's there in Luke 23, verses 39 to 43. You can't be more last minute than that, really. Although you cannot trust to that. If you behave in a couldn't care less fashion throughout your days in the hope of receiving a last minute reprieve, that's an even bigger risk than Nicodemus and Joseph took. You can be condemned in the last minute also. So could I. Perish the thought. But understand this. The Bible, particularly including the New Testament, is totally consistent in this. There will be severe punishment for those who fail to believe. Check out Mark's Gospel. Chapter 9, verses 42 and 43. It talks about the fires of hell there, and it's Jesus talking. Serious stuff. What does it take for each person here to believe? I don't know. Anyone here might be hiding something away. I wouldn't know what it is, but God does. I've learned that God knows me better than I know myself, far better. That will be true of everyone. I said earlier that none of us deserves to be saved from the punishment to come. That's why. There's a problem. We sometimes hide things away from ourselves. We can't tell who or what we genuinely believe. Which is why it is God who needs to decide on whether we get punished or not. Which is why we should not be looking down on someone else. They might or might not be saved. We might or might not be saved. They might be unsaved now, but saved as a last minute thing, like the thief on the cross. We might be saved now, but will that last? Only God knows. But he doesn't want anyone to end up being penalized in eternity. Instead, learn to trust him. Whoever you are. For that was where we started with that single word from one of the most famous verses that Jesus ever uttered. John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." And in case you're concerned about your own situation, let me continue with the reading through to the end of verse 21. And it's Jesus that's saying this, remember. "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he's not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and doesn't come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. That whole passage is not only encouraging, it's also challenging. Read it again when you get home, and again, and again. John 3:16-21. Read it after praying that the Lord will open it up to you and show you what he wants you to take from it. Read it after praying that the Lord will prevent the evil one from interfering with what it says. Then rejoice, for you can receive eternal life, whoever you are. Amen.